Okay. Hi guys. I don't know what happened the first time, but let me get the guest on this time. Okay. It says no viewers. So let's see. Okay.
Hello?
Hi. I don't know what happened the first time, but
I don't know. It's okay.
All right, so people will be in and out, and I'm going to save it to the IGTV and then upload it to YouTube, so we can just go ahead and start.
Okay.
All right, so hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Revamped. I am Courtney Galloway, owner and founder, and today we will be talking with Miss Toni Hunt of The Power She Holds.
Hey.
And the topic for today is the art of being. I chose this topic just because one of the reasons behind Freedom Revamp is to help yourself understand who you are, who you were created to be in order to get to a point of freedom. But I feel like this topic is very important today because of everything that's going on in the world with the pandemic, the death of George Floyd, the riots. So let me start off by asking you, what does being mean to you?
I think that being, the definition of being changes, is changing for me as I get older. But when I began to understand what being is, what being who God called me to be is, it's not fighting myself. It's not trying to do what other people are saying. So break free of what your mother, your father, your family told you to do. Breaking free of what your friends and society says is right. And being what you really, who you really are, whatever it is that you really want to do. If you've always wanted to be an artist, but you had a fear of, or your grandmother told you they don't make money, and so you just never went out to do that because of that fear. Letting go of all of these different barriers to be able to be exactly what your insides are telling you to do. I also think that being is just literally just being, like, just at one. You are you, and you're breathing with, and you're at one with the universe, so just being able to be yourself. Just be.
I love that, especially the part about breaking free from, you know, what others may have told you, especially in the familial aspect. Yeah. I read this book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And in the beginning chapter, before he even talks about what the four agreements are, he lets us know that in order for him to get to the space he's in, he literally had to evaluate what he was told as a child in order to understand who exactly he was. So I love that you said that. And I think that's what being is to me as well. It's figuring out what you were taught that you want to keep within yourself, but also exploring new things that you may want to add to yourself, but also realizing that it will change based on your new experiences and your new knowledge.
Yeah. I think that it's really important to know, like, some things are set in stone. Like, for me, just music and fashion, those things are kind of just embedded in me. I guess it's what I was raised around as a young girl. And so those things are in my blood. But then understanding, not if you don't want to be a, I don't know, Like if you have somebody's, like I said earlier, buried on you or idea of you that's stopping you from being like exactly who you want to be, that there's a difference. So I just wanted to bring that up because some things are just you. Some things are some people are just talented singers. Some people are just have these certain gifts. But also those things don't mean that you have to act on them.
That's true. That's true. One thing, since you said that part about things being embedded in us, I did want to bring up the fact that those things that we can't change. I know there are things about me that I'm like, that God is like, I put those things in you for a reason. And some things can be used, that some things that he put in us are supposed to be used for his glory, but we have to be careful to not use those things for other, like our own desires. And also realizing that those things that we can't change, we need to learn to love and accept them regardless of what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But the next question I had for you was, in a time where it is so easy for us to try to veer off from who we are and conform to what our friends, family, et cetera, wants us to be, how do you stay grounded in who you were called to be?
That's a question that I laugh because it's an everyday process. But once you start really understanding who you are, like, it becomes foundation, it becomes core.
Yeah.
But you are always going to be challenged, always, from left to right, your friends, your family, the devil, whatever, your enemy, is always going to be testing you to see if you really are who you say you are. So for me, I wake up and I make sure that I share time with God. I ask him to allow me to be my higher self and not my lower self. Allow me to be my higher self being the person that I feel I am called to be and not my lower self, which is the person I was born into this earth as. And born into this earth as and let people's opinions and all of these things cloud my mind. That's my lower self. I ask God to allow me to be my higher self, and that's the person that I strive to be. And that is how I, every day, I have to make sure I speak to God about this. And then throughout the day, because sometimes we go through seasons of depression or seasons of downtime or pain and stuff that rattles you. So throughout the day, I have to always, like, touch base with him. Like, journaling, if I feel I'm unsettling, making sure I touch base with him to make sure I'm aligned with that higher me, which is the true me.
I love that. And that's one thing for me too. It's like you said, it's an everyday thing. I know when I interview people for the website, I say, how do you practice freedom? And one of the people I interview, he said, exactly, practice, which means I have to constantly do it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you said it's an everyday thing really sheds light on that particular aspect of it.
Yeah. It's not. It's practice. It's going to be a journey until you pass away, I believe. Until your time's up here, I think it's always going to be something trying to take you away from who you want to be.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I do want to bring up, just because we're both Black women, and it's something that I just can't, you know, I can't overlook it. And I'm trying to figure out how to word it. Okay, with all that is going on, I know for me, I was speaking with my mom about, you know, the rioting and the protesters and the social injustice, just all of it. And she mentioned to me something that happened to her when she was going to school, because she was born in 1963. So, you know, everything was still transforming back then. Mm-hmm. And for me, when she told me the particular story where she had a racist encounter, I remember in my mind, it was like my blood started boiling, and I started thinking all of these horrible things. So for you, and it sort of ties into our topic, how do you, because I know for me, I started to like feel, if I'm being honest, I started to feel hatred towards somebody who I hadn't even met simply because of their actions. So how do you not allow other people's actions, and this can go for the social injustice, or it can just go for your relationships in general that with people you do know. How do you not allow other people's actions to, one, transform who you are, but also not affect what I heard somebody call, like, your heart issue that's going on? So, like, how your heart works, like, love versus hate? How do you work on not letting that change you?
Wow, that's a tough question. But one thing that has allowed me to take people to interact with people who may have hurt me or interact with people who may have done bad things to me. One thing that I do is being able to have grace for this person. Being able to take this person just literally for who they are. And it, even though it sounds like I'm being like, I don't know, it seems kind of passive, but it's really not. It's really being strong. Being able to take somebody for who they are. And that's literally the key to all relationships. To all interactions, being able to love unconditionally as God loves us. And so that's what I practice again. But I practice being able to take somebody for who they are. Like, not who I want them to be, not who I expect them to be, but who they are. So if they are racist, like, being able to understand that maybe from their background, this is what they were taught. Their grandmother, their father, their mother, their school system, this they were taught this. And I'm not saying that it's okay, it's not acceptable, but I'm saying just having that understanding of this is where they are coming from, it gives me a little bit more grace. But I'm not saying I condone that, I don't. I think that you have the responsibility to make a change, like me and you, or you just know right from wrong. So yes, you may have come from something, so that's where the grace comes from, but then it comes to a place where you have to take responsibility for yourself. And so then I'm like, you know what you're doing. Like, you have to go to sleep with yourself every day knowing that you know right from wrong. But I think just being able to take people for who they are, if that answers your question.
It does. And the fact that you mentioned grace, I saw this lady make a post, and it was a birthday post to someone else, and she was like, I don't know how to explain this person. They just are. And the person commented back, she was like, I'm crying because you said, I just am. And she was like, I strive daily to be like God, and God just is. So if we're striving to be like God, then we should have the grace of God. The fact that you said that, I'm definitely going to take that into account, because if I am striving to be like him, then I should just be who he created me to be, which is in his image. So he wants me to love people regardless of how they treated me. He wants me to show them grace. So the fact that you brought that up, that's, yes.
It's hard. Again, like that word, practice, I'm glad you mentioned that word. It's really hard. And I think it's inspiration to be able to take people for who they are, but also being able to ask God, is this my space to teach something? Because it may be a time that I remember when I lived in D.C., I often had to prepare my mentor, prepare my space before I went into my job. Because there's people who just interact the way they were taught to interact. And I will ask God to allow me to take people for who they are. But also, if it's time for me to speak up to protect myself or to speak up to just teach these people who may be ignorant of certain things, use me. Use me. And that's where I kind of apply, like, using my insight to be able to help and teach. But I have to make sure that that's my space. That's what God wants me to do. Not I'm doing it and just kind of like forcing it. I don't want to force it. I want to make sure this is what is needed for their life, because you can't force somebody who's not ready. You can tell somebody that they're gorgeous and they don't believe it until they feel like it. So right. It's time for that.
Definitely. And I think that is a huge part of existing, especially if you're existing as a child of God, is allowing him to tell you when to do things and when to tell you not to do things, and actually listening to it, because there are some things that we're going to fail at simply because we weren't created to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing when, like, asking God, are you supposed to do it? And also listening to him if he tells you to go or to stop is a huge part mm-hmm. of everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's really like a pulling. It's like, you'll know. You really will. Yeah. You will know when it's time to do it because it would kind of just spill out. It would spill out. Today, at like during work, I asked about police brutality because it just came off my tongue. I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't even hold it back. I couldn't even form my question the correct way. It just was what I was supposed to do. You would, and you'll feel just this natural, like, something take over you, and it's probably God.
Yeah, and a lot of things we need to do. I know we've mentioned doing it for other people, but a lot of things we simply need to do for us, because things such as police brutality, I know some people I've spoken with about everything that's going on, they're like in their workplace, they don't even feel right anymore simply because no one else is bringing the conversation up. And I was like, maybe that's your job. If it's weighing on you that much, maybe you should be the person to bring it up. Yeah. So doing things for us is ultimately helping other people, but it's also advancing God's kingdom, because he doesn't want the world to be like this. Mm-hmm. A God who's loving doesn't. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings me to something that I've been meditating on the last couple of days. It's I watch Torre Roberts all the time. He's my go-to guy. And he was talking about how he was reading a passage, and it said, the world is evil. And he used this word evil, but not as to say like the red demon, but like it's evil, like it's things that are testing. There's temptations, there's the things that's happening right now, there's lies. This is what the world is filled of. It's greedy. It's all of these different things that's in the world. So the world is this space that's opposite of peaceful. But you have to like seek the higher space in order to like defeat that.
Yeah. I love Torrent as well. Yeah. That's good though, because I know, once again, if you guys get sick of hearing about this, it's what's going on, so it's what there is to talk about. But I feel like, and I'll tie it into our topic, when you are created to be someone and there are people speaking against that, a lot of times we're like, sometimes we say we want to prove them wrong or prove them right. I feel like certain things we do almost fuel people's fire. Mm. So if someone says, I'll use Trump for an example, mm-hmm. his tweet about people being thugs, some of the things that are going on, like his tweet was not right, especially as someone who is literally the top of the United States. But mm-hmm. some of the things that are going on do fuel his fire to say things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like as humans in general, as Christians, as believers, and if we want to get more specific, as African Americans, we should be so rooted in who we are that we don't feed into what other people say we are.
Mm. Yeah.
Simply and, because you can go. No, I was just saying simply because it'll fuel their fire.
Yeah. So that's a place of knowing, that's a place of knowing your mission, because if you are entertaining things that aren't aligned with what your mission or your purpose, then you are easily going to be swayed to comment back, to respond, or just not to react, negativity, or to react to ignorance. So like, it just takes, we have to be able to address stuff like that. We have to be able to address when people are just acting bogus or whatever. But we have to be able to take a second before we react to make sure we're like coming out of a place of alignment and not just reaction.
Definitely. If anyone has any questions, by the way, you guys can comment it and we'll address them. But I definitely agree with the alignment part for sure. And it feels like, if I'm going to be honest, I know this, like, I keep going back to it, but everything is so heavy right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's easy for us to get onto social media and, you know, make jokes about it. Like, oh, we said it's going to be a movie. Jordan Peele must be directing it, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, the different jokes that people are making about everything that's going on. And, I mean, I get we need the light side of it in order for it to not become overwhelming for us.
Yeah.
But one thing I do think that everyone needs to do is actually allow themselves to feel whatever it is you're feeling about everything, the pandemic, quarantine, the riots. Allow yourself to feel it, because if you don't, it's going to come out eventually. And it may not be, it may not even reflect who you truly are when it does come out if you keep suppressing it.
Ooh. That is strong. I mean, I don't think enough people know how to be authentic.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people who can be honest. And I mean, not be honest as don't tell a lie to your friend, honest. I mean, be honest to yourself. I mean, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of people who know how to say, right now I'm hurting. Right now I'm embarrassed. Right now I'm scared. I don't know a lot of people who can say that. I know a lot of people who can say, it is what it is. I got my stimulus check or whatever. Like, I know people who can belittle things, but I don't know a lot of people who can be honest and say, you know what, I'm hurting right now. I'm scared right now. I'm pissed right now. And I think that being able to address or just admit how we feel, like you said, it will definitely allow us to not react in rage.
Right.
People are reacting in rage if they let these things pile up, and like you said, you don't want people to react. But I just don't think that enough people are authentic enough in themselves, and that takes kind of going back to what we're here talking about. That takes knowing and being. That takes knowing yourself, knowing that it's okay to have these different feelings and different emotions. That takes knowing who you are.
Yeah. And I think the reason we don't want to be honest with ourselves about feeling certain things, for me personally, I'll say that I didn't want to address my feelings in the past about certain situations because I feared there would be part of myself revealed through that I didn't like about me.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, when we don't reveal those true things about ourselves to ourselves, we can't address them, we can't work on them, thus creating more, I'd say, hatred towards ourselves.
Yeah.
And then that causes us to go further and further away from who we were created to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the root of it, is, you know, getting, you can't be you if you don't know you.
Yeah.
You can't love you if you don't know you. So I think
you made that a huge point. That gave me chills, no lie, because some people don't want to know or even, like, wear on their sleeve the actions that they've done. Like, there are things that I'm not proud of some things that I've done, but I wear it on my sleeve because it is who I am. It taught me. I had to go through some things that I didn't like in order to be who I like. So, you gotta just be real. You just gotta keep it real with yourself. Like you said, like you gotta face yourself.
Definitely. I think, especially my generation, I don't know if me and you are in the same generation or not, but I know my generation, we're literally, like, lost. And I feel like it gets worse, like, with the people younger than me, the people that are coming after me. And mm-hmm. I do think that is a form of generational curses. It may not be a familial thing, but it might be a national thing. Like, we don't know who we are because we rely so much on social media to tell us who we are. But do those people who are telling us who we should be, do they know who they are? I think the ultimate goal should be is for us to find who we are in God, because mm-hmm. he created us, so he knows who we are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that having a relationship with God scares people off. I think that's number one. think that, like you said, people are often looking to social media, often looking to the favorite celebrities to lead them, like looking for the hottest clothes or who has the most money. And so I want to say I love rap. I love, and so I love certain rappers. I love, of course, I love certain rappers like Meek Mill. I wish that he would own who he is, because he's a leader. He needs to own that 100%. But like people who are talking, like it's cool to, or it's okay to be true to yourself or stand for something and not just, you know, do drugs and just try to be the freshest person, but also have a purpose. I think I forgot where I was going with the second point, but you talk about the younger generation. I was talking about that. People are scared to have that relationship with God because they feel like it will take them away from being able to be cool too. That was my second point. People think that knowing God will make them have to stop doing things that make them feel free.
Yeah. That is true.
I don't know how to guide people in that way. I think that they have to be ready to.
Yeah. Because for me, I know one of my fears, and like I grew up in church. My whole family is Christian. But mm-hmm. for me, building a relationship with God was scary because, and I've heard a few other people my age say this, we feel like he won't accept us because maybe of things we've done, things we've said, people we've hung around. Mm-hmm. And that's another fear people have. But him as a father, he told me this plain and clear. He was like, I'm not going to judge you for it. Yes, as your father, I will say, okay, you know that was wrong. But that's because I love you. And mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of us, a lot of people who haven't found their relationship with Christ, that's what they don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know that he is love, because mm-hmm. this world has done such a job at proving that everything can be hateful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what people look at, is the world. And even, I'll say, some Christians, like, they judge, they do all these things, oh, yeah. and God is not that. So even us as Christians, and I'll say this to myself, sometimes we need to step up and be the example of love to help bring people to Christ.
Yeah. I like to bring up a point that for me, it's about spirituality. I'm so open to different religions because to me, if the source is God, if it's the higher power, then I'm so for that. I think that religion could scare people because it's rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I like to, if I am going to introduce anybody to have a relationship with God, I try to let them know that, hey, whatever religion you want to go for, I'm encouraging you to have a relationship with a higher power. So just being able to know that there's something larger than us, something more powerful than us that has birthed us into this world. And like you said, this power, God is accepting of us even when we have done things that we are ashamed of. I mean, in order for you to have gotten through those things that we may have been ashamed of, you didn't do it on your own. You might have done drinking and driving, things that are very dangerous and life-threatening. Just know that you didn't get to the other side because you were a good driver.
Right, yeah.
You know, so being able to know that there is, you may have done something that you're ashamed of, but the highest power was on your side the whole time, or else you would not be breathing right now.
That's true. And that goes back to that grace we were talking about, because the higher power, whoever you believe in, God, whoever else, they don't have to help you through your situations. Like you said, they didn't have to help you get across that street while you were drunk, but they did anyway. Exactly. Because of grace.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I didn't have anything, like, any other questions or any points to make on this particular topic. But if you did, then you can address them.
I think that with the power she holds, what I like to teach women is it's a three-step process in order to be, free in their skin. And the process is realizing. So realizing is something that you do kind of like when at those moments when you're like, God, what am I supposed to be doing? Or who am I supposed to be? You're realizing that it's you're not where you want to be. And then it's unlearned. As we talked about earlier, right when we got on, we talked about how you have to unlearn some of these different rules and some of these different expectations that your family or society or friends put on you. Unlearn these things, especially if they tug at the truth, tug with what you believe, and they stop you from being able to explore yourself. So being able to unlearn. And I think that I might add a fourth pillar in there, a fourth strategy, which is to forgive. Because forgiveness takes so much strength. Having a grudge with somebody takes so much energy. So being able to forgive, being able to have courage to forgive your family or whomever might have put this barrier on you. Forgive yourself for giving that person so much power.
Right. I was just going to say, forgive yourself.
Yeah. Forgive yourself. And then you'll be able to do the fourth, which is usually the third, but the fourth now, which is rewrite for success. Then you'll be able to say, I forgive this person for telling me to live this way. I forgive myself for accepting somebody else's rules against my over my life. Now I want to rewrite for success. So what does success, what does freedom, what does this look like for me? And so I wanted to bring up those pillars because I wanted people to think of that when they're in this space of trying to figure out how can I simply be? How can I be happy? How can I be free? How can I be successful? Think of those four ways in order to start to dig deep into who you are meant to be.
Love that. Yes, ma'am. I'm definitely going to write those down because...
Yeah.
Yes. But I always like to end by giving you my guest an opportunity to promote or shout out any other platform that you think people should be tuned into right now. It can be a restaurant, online business, anything that you think people should be tuned into.
Yeah. There's so many. So I think that, of course, you need to be tuned in to the Power She Holds. So if you're not already, follow my Instagram at Power She Holds. Subscribe to my YouTube at The Power She Holds. And also visit my website at www.thepowersheholds.com. I also think that I know a great vegan. I don't know what area people are in, but I know a great vegan chef. His name is, I think it's Trap Kitchen. I'll get it to you. But he's a great chef for people who are looking to go green. And I want to shout out his platform. I want to shout out a photographer friend I have, Bo May. He's a great photographer and super creative. And he's going to be creating and directing some movies coming up soon. So I just wanted to shout him out as well. I want to shout out, let's see who else I can speak about. Oh, I have a great friend, her name is Tara. She is into meditation and also helping people also like find some help, like holistic healing. So if you're looking for any type of sea moss soaps and that sort of thing, she's a great source. And I think if I continue to think, I'm going to be just going on and on. So those are a few people that I follow and I really support just by because of their mission or just their authentic, genuine drive for it. So I just wanted to put those names out there. But also, of course, if you're following me, definitely Freedom Revamp is a great platform for as a great platform for people looking to let go of what these society barriers are coming up to.
Yes. And since this whole topic is the art of being, I'm going to shout out a clothing brand based out of Columbus, Georgia called Wonderfully Created One. And her entire mission is to literally remind people of who they were created to be, which is wonderfully created. So I'll link them, that page, as well as all the ones you shouted out in the IGTV and on YouTube so that people can find them. But thank you so much for being a part of this live. I love everything you said. It really shed light on some things for me, and hopefully it did for the viewers as well. And thank you for everyone who watched and who will watch later. We appreciate the support. But that's all. Once again, thank you for being a part of this live.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yes. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your night now, I guess.
I know. It's still light out. But...
Yeah. All right. Bye.
All right. See you later.
All right.